Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Comedy Roundabout podcast, episode 3, with myself, Josh Pugh, and Stu Woodings. This was recorded on the 30th of November, so we are in the midst of British winter time. Stu was delighted, actually, during this episode because he's just got some good news. He's just received his first ever winter fuel allowance payment. So he's booked a rally driving experience day. That's what he spent it on. Not really what the money's meant for, but I hope it keeps him warm at night, the memories. As with the leather jacket he's bought as well. Is it a crisis? Not for me to say. Thanks very much for downloading, though. You can follow us on Twitter at Comedy Roundabout. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, tell a friend about us, leave a review. If you're going to tell a friend about us, tell them it's good. Don't go telling them it's shit. I'd rather people think it's good, having not listened to it, than people listen to it and thinking it's shit. You make the judgment call on that. We trust you completely. To be honest, Stu does more of the technology side of things. I don't even know how to access it, really. Stu's more into that. He's just had a home cinema fitted, actually. Yeah, he's done away with his lounge. Massage chair, surround sound. As I say, is it a crisis? Not for me to say. Anyway, thanks very much for downloading. I hope you enjoy the episode. Thank you.
Have you ever heard of a rally car? I've just come in a 3 Series.
Oh, Stu, we're on. How you doing, mate? You okay? Good to see you,
really,
Stu.
Really good to be back. So Josh, we're in the grotto. We're in Josh's grotto, and it's absolutely lovely. There's a tree up.
Yeah, we've got the tree up. 30th of November, Stu, that's going up.
30th of November, you can't get into it. I tend to save it until the 1st of December, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, this is a real tree, Stu. We've got 2 trees. Obviously, right. You're in a terraced house. One tree in a terraced house.
Yeah, you sort of warm up tree as guests walk through, and then you mend.
And this is the big one. I mean, it's a slight problem. I mean, it's hardly worth mentioning, really, but it's actually in front of the TV.
Oh,
which is a bit. I also can't close the blinds very easily.
I did notice that sort of Mission Impossible thing you were doing earlier.
Yeah, it's quite a big tree.
The tree being there kind of changes the settee real estate, doesn't it? Because no one wants to be sat in the far corner where you've got.
See, that is my corner usually. I'm in there, and then sort of. But that's my angle to the TV is completely blocked off.
Right.
It looks like everything I'm watching looks like it's set in some kind of Norwegian forest now. But it's good. But you know, with a real Christmas tree, I didn't know this. Obviously, with a fake Christmas tree at the end of Christmas, you sort of have to. You pack it up and put it in the loft ready for next year.
Yeah.
So don't worry, kids, we'll get it out again next year. With a real tree, you just wrap it in a sheet and take it down the tip.
You know, you are missing out on one of life's pleasures by doing that, Josh. Let me tell you what you actually should do.
Okay.
Keep the tree, and then in summer, when it goes brown and dry, you burn it, and it goes up like a firework.
Really?
It's phenomenal. I mean, absolutely brilliant.
It feels a little bit like I'm killing Christmas.
Well, I don't know.
We've got quite a small car, so I'll probably have to chop it into small bits and then put it into bin bags. It honestly feels like I'm doing like massacring.
I know what Christmas. You mean. Did you get a little base with it as well?
That was a separate purchase. Still, that was £17 the base.
Oh my!
And it's quite bottom heavy. The tree is
right.
So you're sort of on your face down, sort of feeding it water as well.
I was going to say, don't forget to water them. They will dry out.
Yeah, it is quite an investment, to be honest.
Did you look at many trees before picking?
Went to a Christmas tree farm.
Yeah.
Where you go in and you get these little tags and you tag the tree you want and then they come and chop it down in front of you.
We went to a similar sort of thing at Morrison's. It was called Tree Amigos, which I thought was a nice little touch.
That is nice, yeah. Oh, great. So, yeah, we're in here. My girlfriend is in the other room, our usual podcast room, and she said, you know, it's quite, you know, I'm going to be in this room. But I told her, I said, listen here, I'm doing this podcast, whether you like it or not. And if you don't, then I'll make up for it by doing chores.
Right, yeah.
You know, I've told her straight, Stu.
You laid the law down. It is strange. I've never been this comfortable before.
Yeah, you're sort of quite reclined. I'm actually sat on a piano stool.
Right, Stu. I didn't see the piano.
No, what I thought I'd get the stool first.
Yeah.
And then if I'm comfy, then I'll get the piano next.
It makes sense.
The last thing, you don't want to invest time learning to play the piano, then you sit down and you don't want piles, do you, Steve? If you're creating, you know this one anyway, if you're creating music, the last thing you want is hemorrhoids.
Absolutely. It's a musician's nightmare.
Definitely.
You don't want to be trying to concentrate on your next piece and worrying about your grapes.
Yeah, so that's it. So we've moved into, it's actually my front room, Stu.
It's lovely.
The fireside.
You've really got a lovely Christmassy vibe going on.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
It's good.
It's good. We've done some sock and plugged some sockets and stuff. So,
and I see your Frank Skinner collection there as well.
Yeah, always in the. I've not got many DVDs. When I moved from my mum's, I left a lot of DVDs there.
Right.
But that's one I did bring with me, Stu.
Wow.
So what? I just sort of go and watch that. Then any jokes I think are funny, I write them down, and then I go and when I do a gig at that night, I say them ones.
Right.
And if they like it, I'll keep it in.
Oh, right.
And if they don't like it, then it's Frank Skinner's joke. So
so it's kind of a win-win.
Exactly. Yeah. I sort of blame him then.
You're a bit of a boxing fan, like myself.
Yes.
We both like a bit of boxing, and obviously recently, I feel far too reclined. I feel like I should be actually on a piano. That's kind of like a lady would...
Like a red
sort
dress.
Of, that's the one.
Yeah.
Tyson Fury.
Yes.
What did you... Did you watch it?
I did watch it, Stu. Did you?
No, I can't find any... I was going to try and download it. Legally.
I respect the fact you've sort of... you've added this feature without any... having watched any footage of the fight, but I was...
I saw him singing, but
yeah, that
obviously
was
that wasn't part of the...
Yeah, no, he actually did really well. I always think, you know, like boxers?
Yeah.
You know when they're sort of showing, like, the pre-fight, and they're in the change rooms warming up?
Yeah.
Like, on the pads or whatever, trying to look really tough?
Yeah.
If that was me, when it cut to me, I'd be trying to look really, like, chilled out, like cucumbers on my eyes.
I see what you're saying, like,
playing,
yeah. Maybe doing
guitar
some recce.
Yeah, playing Guitar Hero or something.
Yeah.
Just really chilled out.
Yeah.
Or some kind of, playing swing ball. Just in the... That's what I like to do at gigs, actually, Stu. You know, if... you can crash, can't you? You get, like, your adrenaline burst on stage, and then you can crash after.
Yeah.
I bring the adrenaline down slowly by playing swing ball. Come home, play swing ball. And
that's...
just sort of ease me back in. If I do a gig a long way away from home, I have to take the set with me, play in the green room.
Do you take two bats?
No.
So it's a solo effort?
Yeah, it's very much a solo effort. So.
It feels like... is it something you'd ever try and incorporate into your act?
No, not really. Just because logistics more than anything. Because what you have to do, a lot of people don't realise this with swing ball, you need to actually weight the bass so it doesn't just fall over.
Right.
And then to have it's a lot of sort of admin to do on stage. And also not very funny, which would I think would be
that's
a bit of a sticking point.
I played swing ball not long ago, and I like the feeling when you hit it, and then as it swings round, you backhand it the other way.
Oh, yeah.
And you get like a little sort of pendulum thing going on.
Yeah, you do, yeah. But then it's nice as well if your son does manage to get a hit on the ball as well.
There's nothing like, yeah. That.
But, you know, if he can't handle the stand, you're setting the pace, and if he can't live with that, then that's...
Get out the kitchen. The kitchen, which I can't stress enough is an inappropriate place to be playing swing ball.
Absolutely.
But if we were to, so Tyson Fury, you saw the fight.
Yeah.
What was the verdict? Was he good, or was Klitschko not very good?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of with boxing, I think, and I'm not an expert, Stu, but I think the key is to throw punches.
Yeah.
And there was just a lack of that for me in this one.
If you're not prepared to throw punches, you're not going to win the fight. I mean, that's kind of a sort of a spectator's point of view.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's no sort of
technical
input there.
He threw slightly more punches than Klitschko.
Right.
They're both very big men, aren't they?
Huge. He's
big guys.
Like 6'9".
Yeah. But then, you know, if you're not going to throw punches, it doesn't matter how big you are.
A weird strategy.
Yeah, it's unique. I mean, it's like minimalist. It's like anti-boxing that we're doing.
It's bizarre. This actually feeds onto something else that I was talking about, but one of the criticisms we've had over our podcast is we're under the genre of comedy and self-defence.
Yeah.
And people have been saying that it's a bit of a trade description thing because there isn't actually that much comedy. So I'm just wondering whether we need to up the ante a little bit. But of course, there I was making an attempt at comedy. Self-defence. We are a little bit self-defence-light. So... Having watched the boxing, is there anything we can impart to the listeners? Anything that they can use on the streets should they ever encounter?
Definitely,
sort of
definitely. What I've learned from that boxing, be really, really big.
Basically.
Yeah, be, if you can, be 6'6" plus.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and I think that is probably the best way of defending yourself.
Okay.
So.
So really though, that's the sort of thing they'll need to do before leaving the house. They're not going to... do that on the fly, are they?
Yeah, no, and yeah. So get yourself as really big as you can.
Yeah.
Then I sort of think, you know, if you go out in boxing glove, you're sort of maybe attracting unwanted trouble.
Yeah. If you're going out in boxing gloves with a gum shield, and it's not a good look, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, especially if you're sort of going into Aldi or sort of a supermarket, it's giving off completely the wrong. Yeah. Also, you've not got the dexterity, so you wouldn't get the pound coin in the trolley.
You're really limiting your shopping options.
Yeah, definitely. And you end up more frustrated and probably getting into trouble. I mean, yeah. Honestly, I think, Stu, self-defence.
Yeah.
I think you just give out positive energy and receive positive energy back.
Yeah.
Although I did go out New Year last year, and I said, I was walking home, and I said to this guy walking past, I said, "Oh, Happy New Year, mate." And he said, "Fuck off."
Oh, wow.
So, bit nasty.
And did you become 6'9" or?
No, I just kept going, walking. Yeah. Left it. I didn't want to do any damage.
No.
New Year, new me.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's it. That's
I mean, if they got me a couple of hours earlier, Stu. I mean, the previous year, I would have.
I would.
But because it was a new year, new me, I just sort of left it, just carried on walking.
That's beautiful. You've grown as a human.
Yeah, no, I think each year I sort of try and set myself little targets. Yeah. I mean, this year it was not to lash out in the street.
No, I mean, you don't want to go back, do you?
No. Next year, who knows? I don't know. Maybe people could tweet in, Stu. We've got Twitter, haven't we? And we have had a listener's question, actually.
Oh, have we? Okay.
Yeah, it's wonderful. A budding comedian.
Right.
He wants to know, so we're called Comedy Roundabout.
Yeah.
And so he wants to know, if we were to put on a comedy gig on a roundabout.
Yes.
I presume he means like a
traffic.
An
actual motorway roundabout sort of thing.
Yeah, who would be booked for the gig?
Well, I did see this. And I think it depends. I mean, you're going to want a different comedian depending on the time of day. Rush hour, this time of year, you're going to want somebody live and jolly, aren't you?
Yeah,
somebody
you are.
Who can really attract the punters.
Yeah.
Whereas on a Sunday day where it's a bit dreary, maybe you'd want somebody a little bit more downbeat.
Yeah, or so I was thinking sort of the other way.
Right.
It's probably quite a dangerous place to stand, isn't it? Maybe you could book a comedian you didn't really like and hope that some kind of reckless driver would actually mow them down.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe somebody like, I don't know, Thomas Rackham, Lucy Thompson, possibly. They're just a couple of names just springing to.
I see what you're saying, yeah. Well, maybe we can make that happen.
Yeah, no, I think, but that's a great question.
So there wouldn't be any loss to the podcasting community.
Absolutely not, no. We're actually doing a joint podcast with Tom and Lucy.
We are.
And we're going to record that next week in this very room, Stu.
I'm excited.
If my girlfriend lets me. Well, she will bloody let me, because if she doesn't, then I'll have to do it at my mum's house.
But I think, you know, they really should be all right down there by the
They'll be all right down there, yeah. I mean, well, obviously, they're obviously not going to touch anything.
As long as they're below us.
Yeah, well, like metaphorically and in terms of ability.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think now I look
not
forward to that.
It's competitive at all.
It's not
time of year, it's Christmas, it's all about giving. But we are superior in most ways.
Absolutely. Agreed, Stu. So we're sort of thinking, because it's obviously coming to the end of November, people are starting to do a bit of Christmas shopping.
Yep.
So I thought what we could do, so people can make informed choices about what to buy their loved ones. We've done a bit of a gadget review for the listeners.
Oh yeah,
Stu.
Really
so
about this.
Obviously we're sort of from different generations, aren't we?
As such.
So we've sort of we both reviewed a product which is sort of age appropriate. So I've gone for the Swegway.
Yep, and I have gone for the Cooper Bathmaster CL20.
And we didn't actually have a budget, Stu, to buy this equipment, did we? So what we had to do was... I've just been watching Swegway videos online, and Stu's actually had to get in touch with his local social services, who came out to assess him getting in and out of the bath, Stu, didn't they?
Can I just say that what a lovely young man they sent round. Really helpful. He made me feel empowered. Kind of promoted my independence.
And the waiting list for those assessments really is long. There's some very ill people sort of waiting sort of 6-8 months plus. So to get one so quick was really, really good. So starting with the Segways, they look really fun, you know, Stu. It's like a Segway but without the central plinth to hold on to. They're great on pavements and laminate. Not so good, Stu, on bark shavings or sand.
Josh, you may as well be speaking Chinese. The Bathmaster CL20 was great. It helped to lower you into the bath at a reasonable speed, and I found the controls really easy to use, to be honest. Being immersed in water has health benefits for conditions such as rheumatoid arthritis and
quite well. The thing is with the Segway, slight negative, it's actually been deemed illegal to use on roads and public footpaths. But there's a positive, because there's nothing in the law that sort of has banned the use of Segways in shopping centres, hospitals or places of worship.
Now, the CL20 will need servicing once a year and runs off the mains. There are running costs. An alternative would be to have a thorough personal wash in your sink using a long-handled sponge for the hard-to-reach areas.
I mean, overall, the Segway, the product rating, I've given it a product rating of 6 out of 10. I couldn't have scored any higher because I've never actually seen a Segway in real life and certainly haven't had a go on one. So it's a 6 out of 10 for the Segway.
I'm going to give the Cooper's Bathmaster a solid 8, Josh, and a half out of 10. A great product, but I did feel at times like a sheep being dipped.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. So I hope that sort of helps you make more informed choices about what to buy loved ones, whether they're, you know, young buck or a slightly older statesman. Did you know, Stu, this is a little fact, actually. You know the guy that invented the Segway? You know how he died?
I don't know.
I told you, so he Segwayed off a cliff.
He didn't, did he?
Genuinely segued off a cliff.
Well, if I can just segue from that to the Atkins diet inventor.
That's nice. I'm going to segue back to my story.
Oh, sorry.
I was thinking, so he segued off a cliff. Do you think that was an accident, or do you think it was like a segue quadrophenia? You know, at the end of quadrophenia, where he just gets disillusioned with sort of the scooters and the mods and just sort of...
Is that the one where he goes off the edge and there's the gold in the back?
Yeah,
and
that's
it's sort of, and it's sort of that's tipping on the end.
No,
of
you're thinking of the Italian Job, there, Stu.
Is that not the same film? Oh no,
it's not the same film.
Right, yeah.
So segueing back into the Atkins diet, Stu.
Yeah, the Atkins.
You're looking trim, mate. Have you been on the Atkins?
I've never done the Atkins diet, although I am a sensible eater anyway. So okay. I don't have a very carb light diet. No potatoes. Very little bread. I try and supplement with sweet potato occasionally.
Well, that's the opposite of the Atkins, isn't it? You're supposed to have carbs on... No?
What is that? The Atkins diet is low carbs, high protein.
Oh.
So it's your meats, it's things like that, it's pulses.
Oh, you can have cheese and stuff. That's why a lot of men like it, isn't it?
I think you can have cheese, but I think it makes you flatulent.
Yeah.
And bad breath.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've never
really... But I mean, if you're losing weight, sort of, it's a...
But it was really funny, you were just saying that, and the Atkins diet guy, he died as well. He segued off the edge of a cliff.
I mean, it really is. It can. That brings me on to a little question. So that's sort of prompted from the Atkins.
Yeah.
Would you rather be married to a woman who was grotesquely overweight, or with a nice physique but flatulent and bad breath?
Christ, the $1 million question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. But there are sort of. Part-time remedy. There are little remedies and stuff you can take to ease flatulence, can't
That's
you?
That's true, yeah.
So, you know, I think I'd go for the fit one and just give her some kind of anti-flatulent pills.
Okay, that's a real insight, Stu. You're actually still in your work gear, mate. What's going on? You just sort of come from the office.
They are breaking me at that place, Josh. They are literally trying to squeeze every ounce out of me.
And you work in computers, Stu, don't you?
I do work in computers.
Because what happens is, usually with the podcast, Stu gets here. Apologies for the quality if you're not happy with the content of the podcast. What happens is, Stu spends so long setting the equipment up that we've actually exhaust all avenues of conversation during that hour and a half it takes him to set up.
Considering I'm a IT professional, I am baffled each week when I have to plug in a total of 6 cables into various sockets. And I wonder how I make a living doing this.
Are you on LinkedIn, Stu?
I am.
Can you do feedback on LinkedIn? Is that a thing?
I'm not sure how it works. I've not used it for a long time.
I mean, it's not a dating thing by any stretch of the imagination, isn't it?
Well, you say that.
I mean, yeah. Do you have a picture on there?
I've got a picture of myself, but I think with all these sort of things, there's a little bit of hyperbole involved, isn't there, as well?
Okay.
You know, I'd take it all with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I don't really use... In my profession, I don't really need LinkedIn. I don't need to network at all. People sort of come to me, really.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's very much a call centre environment. So, you know, it's faceless. It's anonymous, in a way, faceless, which I like. So I like the... anonymity.
I'll go with that.
How do you say that word?
Anonymity.
Anonymity, yeah.
Anonymity.
Fantastic, Stu. Brilliant.
Now, we've had some letters.
Oh.
Yeah. They're just coming through as we speak. So what have we got here then? Hi guys, just want to say your podcast totally sucks.
Oh.
That is all. That's Brian from Swansea.
Okay, Brian, that's...
Strange.
It's not everyone's taste, is it? It's not. No, but thanks for getting in touch for
me. Fair enough, you know. Well, yeah. I appreciate a bit of honesty. It keeps us on a
toes. And it's constructive, isn't it?
It's constructive.
Yeah.
Ola, como estás, Josh and Stu? I think I know who this is.
Yeah.
I think I know who this is. Hey, guys, what happened? Your last podcast was muy non bueno. In Mexico, we don't have this, how you say, Cliffy Richard. I know, like this direction, guys. Please, for the sake of little Pancho, go back to how it used to be. Adios, Pablo.
Ooh. He's listened again, hasn't he? He's
listened again. That's a little bit negative, but I like the fact that it does show we've got an international reach.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is really
Mexicano.
Nice. Mexicano. Ooh. Well, howdy, partners.
Ooh.
This is old Tex Jay Callahan here. I got to say, boys, that was one mighty fine podcast you got yourselves there. Yes, sirree. Mighty fine. I had it on as I did the Lord's work. And then he says, that's Barry from Tadcaster. So.
Oh, well, thanks for getting in touch. People can tweet us, Stu, can't they? At Comedy Roundabout. You got how many followers? Twitter followers have you got, Stu?
How many Twitter followers? I think we're in the three figures now.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Low, I'll be honest, low three figures.
Yeah.
But it's three.
Is it 100?
It's slightly more.
How? What?
I think it's 106.
That's not bad.
I'll take that.
Yeah, definitely.
So if we can make it 107 by the end of this podcast, I think that'd be great.
So we've had a couple of subscribers as well, Stu.
We have.
We're only doing like one podcast a month, aren't we? Which is sort of, I think, is about right for the.
You don't want to saturate.
No, definitely not. I mean, it's sort of podcast menstruation almost, isn't it? You know, it's coming once a month. You can prepare yourself. About a week before, you start feeling sick. It's the anticipation, it's the hormones are racing. And then when it arrives, it's just there. And it can come at any time, can't it? But we sort of know, there's no logic to when we put this out. It can come at any time, once a month, any time.
And when it comes, I mean, it's just like this whole weight just lifted off your shoulders, isn't
it? Yeah, And if, you know, if it's late 1 month, if the podcast is late 1 month, that's when you start worrying.
Yeah.
And you start thinking the worst then.
But you can get snappy. It can make you snappy with other people.
It can.
You know?
Yeah, it can. It's the anticipation of it, Stu, isn't it? And you think, you know, I don't know if I'm ready for this podcast to not come. And then when it comes, it's just a... Whew.
It's a beautiful...
Yeah.
Cathartic.
Yeah, definitely.
Cathartic.
So, yeah, absolutely. So, I sort of mentioned your appearance earlier.
Yeah.
I've got a bit of a theory at the moment. I'm wearing jeans, sort of a little bit tight, but not too tight. I've got a theory, right, that the more comfortable the trouser, the less productive you are.
Right.
I've got, so you know, sort of people, like chavs that wear sort of those lounging grey bottoms?
Yeah.
I don't think they're lazy, they just look really relaxed. So I spoke a little bit on the last podcast. I know people sort of a little bit alarmed by some of the sort of suggestions I was making with the dictatorship and the... But
we did have a few complaints. I'll come back to that, but I did get spat at by an old lady. But carry on.
Okay, well, it's a slightly low key. So I want obviously young people to be productive and do things. So I'm thinking all school leavers should be really wearing leather trousers, Stu.
Right, okay. So you something really uncomfortable and tight.
Just because I think it sort of makes you to, you know, the more uncomfortable you are, the more likely you are to be active. And
that's true. Although when I picture Steve Jobs, I can see him in those big baggy blue jeans. Mm. And he was productive.
But maybe he
could have been more productive.
I mean, what's he done recently?
Well, he's dead.
Exactly. So, you know, leather trousers. Leather trousers for all.
Mm.
So, get into sixth form. We can roll it out across sixth forms, Stu, I think.
I think we'd need to do some research. But I certainly like a nice, comfortable slack. I like a slack I can get in.
A chino.
I never used to, Josh, but nowadays the thought of a nice chino, smart, comfortable.
The only thing with chinos, and this is me bearing salty, you can sort of, if you do have a little bit of a dribble, so if you've been to the toilet, chino will expose
it.
It
will highlight it. But you know when you sat down with your mates and you're having a game of bridge?
You're just
having your brandy, you know what I mean? It's nice to know you've got a nice relaxing slack. But if you do need that sort of occasional feeling, you know, like some kind of event, that slack will carry you through.
It will. It's sort of a daytime into night time, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Like if you were at that bridge competition, yep, or whatever you do, dominoes, whatever it is you do, and then you got a call that said, it's one of your other mates, Stu, we've got there's a game of Crown Green Balls on tonight. Can you make it? Can you make numbers up? You wouldn't even have to go home and get changed.
I might swap my Pringle jumper, but that's about it.
You could go straight across, couldn't you? Yeah. You ever played Crown Green Balls, Stu?
I haven't, even though a lot of my mates are often asking me to. What about yourself?
No, I have played.
Have you played it?
Yeah, I played in the summer. It's quite... I was kept rolling it too hard.
Right.
It's quite a deft touch.
Do you put, is it anything like temping bowling? Are there similarities?
In the sense that, I mean, you can't get a slush puppy at a working man's club. You're gonna struggle to get a slush puppy there. And you have to sort of it's sort of weighted on one side, and you have to sort of go with the weight, and it sort of curves round and gets a jack.
The thing with that temping bowling, it's so bloody noisy.
It is, isn't it?
My goodness!
And it's a lot of bravado, isn't there, Stu?
Yeah,
a lot of bravado. So I think I've got a bit of an opinion about temping bowling. I believe it should be played without barriers, both physical and social. It's for everyone. It really is.
Absolutely, I can't agree with that more.
I do like. There's not many activities you do where you get given a pair of shoes. It's like to just try on for a little bit.
No, no. There's a lot to be said for a temper, and I like the shoes as well. Actually,
yeah, I like the shoes.
I'd like it if you could actually buy them. They're quite. There's something modish about them.
Yeah, they are. They're a little bit very slippery though.
Very slippery.
Yeah, very slippery. You know what I like when you're. You know, everyone gets the shoes and they've all got laces, and then the guy behind the counter hands you a pair of Velcro bowling shoes. You just feel a little bit special. Because obviously, I wear the shirt anyway when I go. I've got my own shirt, personalised.
Have you still got the teardrop bowling ball with the rose in the centre?
Yeah, I've still got that one.
Beautiful.
With a snake going round.
That's the one.
Yeah, no, I've still got that. Yeah. Still got that. I've not been bowling for ages, actually. I really haven't.
I was supposed to go last week. It was a guy's leaving do, and I was supposed to go. And I just didn't bother. That's a terrible dead end story, that, isn't it?
We used to do a thing in the pub, actually, with my mates. We used to sit round, and there used to be like an ornament in the window, or like a little plant pot. And whenever somebody told a boring story, they'd just put the plant pot in front of the person so they could tell it to the boring story. But I don't think women do that. No, if a woman was to with a friend and told a story, they'd never say, "What a shit story that is." I don't think they'd call each other out on it.
I think women have a different threshold. I've got to be very careful, obviously.
Yeah.
In fact, I might retract what I'm saying. I can always cut this back bit out if I don't like it. But for what they'll talk about, because sometimes I'll earwig on some of Sarah's conversations, and I think that just wouldn't make the cut if I was chatting with the lads.
You'd sort of edit that out before you said it, wouldn't you?
You would, yeah.
But I think they're just nicer to each other. I think that's that's the problem.
Yeah, but there's not as much.
Speaking of banter.
Yeah, banter.
I went to see Paul Weller on Friday.
Oh, wonderful!
At the NIA, it was fantastic. He's still got it, old Paul. And on the way back, we're stuck in traffic. So we decided to phone one of my friends to do a prank call, Stu. And I don't think, as you get older, I don't think prank calls ever stop being funny.
No.
I really don't. So we phoned this guy up, and I said, what are you doing? His name is Palmer. He might listen to this, a little name drop.
Right.
I said, Palmer, what are you doing, mate? He's done a lot of like, body pump.
Not his first name.
No, it's not. No. No, he started doing like a lot of body pump classes.
Right.
He's trying to lose weight. He's grotesque at the moment, Stu. Sort of, he might not listen to that, but he's overweight. He's doing body pumps.
Right.
And we phoned him up. He said, what are you doing, mate? So I'm just in bed. I was like, mate, get up. We're coming to pick you up. We're doing twilight running. He said, what's that? I said, it's a thing now. You go out bang on midnight running, and your body clock aligns with the moon, and you burn more calories. He's like, yeah, well, get my trainers on. Yeah, definitely, mate. We're going twilight running. So I think that could be a new fad.
Well, I wanted to invent a fog jog.
What's a fog jog?
I didn't really iron it out, but basically you go for a jog when it's nice and foggy. Just adds an element of suspense and danger.
It does. If I had a plant pot ornament still, I'd place one in front of you, because, again, that was...
It was awful, Josh. I can only apologise. But Something slightly exciting. We've got our first sponsor.
Oh, fantastic.
We've got our first sponsor. Really wow. Exciting. It's for a new cologne called Apex by Ferrari.
Oh, well, I must be getting a pretty decent kickback off that.
Well, I don't think it's the Ferrari. I think it's just quite a common Italian surname.
Oh, look, Smith.
I don't think that's Italian. But they've provided this. They've provided a CD which I've got to play in the background. But I'm going to have to do that at a later date. So I'm just going to blast through this.
Yeah.
And then I'll make sure you get your half.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is contractual. You've got to do this bit. You've got. To...
Well, if we want them to give us some money.
Okay. Yeah.
They really liked the second podcast.
Brilliant. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is Apex by Ferrari. Since the first complex-celled organisms, there has been the hunter and the prey. From the mighty lion on the dust plains of the Serengeti to the elusive anaconda in the jungles of Borneo, the Apex Predator is the ultimate hunter. Now you can ensure your prey is defenceless as you become the Apex Predator with the ultimate cologne, Apex by Ferrari. I can smell you. So that's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you got any of the centres, any other products?
They've sent us a couple of little sachets of the stuff, but I don't know about you, and I don't know if this will affect our sponsorship in any way, but did that have a bit of a creepy vibe to you?
No, it's not nature, innit, and wildlife, and...
Defenceless prey? Just, I don't know, maybe I'm reading between the lines too much.
Yeah, don't worry. So now, if they're giving definitely they're transferring the money across to...
I'll sort all that out, don't
yeah,
worry.
Yeah, no, yeah, great. Yeah, no, keep that in, we'll keep that in. Thank you to the guys at... Apex Ferrari there.
Yeah, well, it's Ferrari. Apex is the name of the cologne.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you had a cologne, Stu, what would you call it?
If I had a cologne? Oh, crikey. Something sensible. Okay. I don't know. Something like a nice walk.
Efficiency by Stu Woodins.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. What about yourself? Something boisterous and roisty-doisty, I would imagine.
Yeah, maybe Spunk. Spunk, the new fragrance, le Georges Pure. But like spunk is in, not as in semen, Stu, but you know, like you got a lot of spunk, kid.
Yeah, I can imagine the advert. I never leave the house without putting a bit of spunk on my face. Something. I don't mean that in a nasty way.
Yeah, it's a double meaning, isn't it? Yeah. But you know, that's part of the cheeky cheeky chap, isn't it? Spunk. Yeah, spunk. And you can go, you know the little guys that sell the colognes. Why are we saying colognes, Stu?
I don't know.
Aftershave.
You know, the guys, these Ferrari guys.
Yeah, they've been put. That's marketing. They're professionals.
Yeah,
those guys.
Yeah, it's working.
Yeah, so you know the fellas that sell the aftershaves in the toilets.
Yeah.
If you went up to them and says, "Give me some spunk."
Oh.
Here's a pound.
Yeah.
Might be a problem.
You might get more than you bargained for.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to have my own cologne. So you know, if you ever made it big in comedy, Stu, and I don't know if we've touched on this actually on the previous two podcasts. What would you sort of
How would I diversify?
Yeah, would you sort of have a Stu Woodins doll, and you could pull it out, with a little string at the back, and it would say something.
And each time it'd have a unique joke.
Yeah,
much like myself. I think you're forced to go into the cologne market. I think that's a given.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I think you have to do that, don't you?
What about underwear, Stu?
I could see a range of my a nice brief or a nice Y front. I'd like to bring the Y front back.
Yeah.
I think sort of apparel. Some sort of apparel.
Like, yeah.
What about yourself?
I don't know. I quite like maybe. I don't know. Maybe some kind of some kind of cookery products. You know, like Jamie Oliver's got his knives and his chopping board and stuff. I quite like. I mean, my cooking is quite microwave based. So maybe kind of a special microwave dish.
Well, I think that's certainly... There's a gap in the market, isn't there?
Yeah,
because a lot of the TV chefs tend to be really top-end talented. There's no one who doesn't really know what they're doing.
No.
Which is most people.
Yeah, I'm a man on the street. Yeah. Relatable.
I think you might be into something
there. Yeah, definitely. Did you see a programme called Kitchen Impossible, Stu?
No.
It was fantastic. So a guy called Michel Roux, who's a chef.
Yeah, know the fella.
Again, very much sort of hob and cooker based. He's not really working with a microphone, microwave at all, really. But he took sort of a group of 12 disabled people who were unemployed and sort of wanted to work in the kitchen and hospitality industry. And he sort of took them on a bit of a workshop and helped them to get employment at the end. And... It was really good. A guy who couldn't see, and then they had a couple of people with Tourette's, Really? Yeah, it was challenging. Like people were sort of swearing and things, and it's really like Tourette's in the kitchen. You don't realise it's actually because it's quite a stressful situation. Yeah. Sort of getting really like wound up and
that doesn't seem like a handicap in the same way. You know, just sort of like being a spontaneous swearer.
Yeah, no, I sort of think that. I think that, but that's something. Look, I think as a society, we've overcome Tourette's. I think people know what it is.
Yeah.
And I think we're a bit more...
There's not that stigma, is
it? I'd like to think we're accepting... More people are sort of accepting of Tourette's and wouldn't stop people getting employed with it.
No. Did you watch... What's the comedian called? Russell Howard. Did you see where he had the woman with Tourette's on?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, check it out. Is that what they say? Check it out.
Yeah, check it.
But I watched him on Russell Howard's Good News on iPlayer, and they had this woman, and she was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious, and she's learnt to kind of live with her Tourette's and just become one with it. And she's so funny. Some of the things that she comes out with are hilarious, but she's saying in actual fact she's not funny. She's actually quite pedestrian and a little bit boring, and even her mates say she's boring. But these things that she comes out with, these a brain basically it makes these it connects words together and ideas that she doesn't do herself.
Is that genuine?
Yeah, honestly,
that's really interesting, isn't it? Yeah, that's gosh. So that's like either sort of says something without knowing you're going to say it.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that, isn't it? But just at a really extreme end.
Yeah, it was brilliant. She does this thing about... she's got a street light just outside a bedroom.
Yeah.
And she was saying... She was coming out with this stuff like about it living off society and being a leech and a parasite and stuff. Yeah. All these things, and it was dead funny. She was like, that wasn't me. That was like some subconscious thing coming out of it. I thought, yeah.
That's like some of the stuff you do, Stu, isn't it? Like, But it's like the opposite. You're quite a funny guy, like chatting now. But I don't know what it is. Look, when you get on stage, I don't know what it is. It's just sort of, it's like another part of your brain takes over, and it's just sort of coming up really sort of mundane, sort of.
It's
a weird one, isn't it? It's like it's almost a condition in itself, really.
It is a condition, and I don't think it's recognised.
No, it's sort of it's like the opposite of Tourette's, isn't it?
Yeah. Despite myself, I can't be funny in front of people.
Yeah, exactly. You're sort of And you sort of, you have the ideas,
yeah,
but you just can't verbalise them.
I think one of the things that certainly doesn't help is when before I go on the stage, I run them past you, and you tell me they're brilliant, and then I go on stage and I can see you sort of like doing that thing across your neck.
We've got a bit of a thing, so if we have an idea, I do sort of run it by you, don't I? And vice versa.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it's useful because you the things me and you find funny aren't necessarily...
No, some of it's quite niche. I've tried a few of the things which you've convinced me are going to be winners. And
yeah.
You know, it's been cricket sounds out there.
I'd love that. You know, I'd love... You know, and it's just silent. You can just hear, like, the air con.
Yeah.
Or you can hear, like, the
You almost hear like, anti-noise. You almost hear the air go out the room, don't you, sometimes?
It's, like, less than noise.
Yeah.
That's a weird sensation, isn't it?
It's disappointment. Because especially if they've enjoyed, if you've got a bit of a wave going,
yeah,
and they're really enjoying it, and they're like, come on, you know, keep pleasing us, and then you just, you know, and I just think, he told me this.
And they just lose faith with you, don't they? Like,
that's it, yeah.
You've done like some good stuff, and they've enjoyed it, and then suddenly they like hate you straight away. I've done loads of good things.
Yeah. I thought you were cool.
Yeah, and then you've said that thing about bloody cricket.
Yeah.
And it's just... So I did a gig at a cricket club recently, Stu.
Did you?
Yeah, it's good. Me and Mark Driver went, and we got to eat a meal with the cricketers.
Oh,
and then we did a gig for them.
Did you?
Which they actually seemed to enjoy. They said they had a woman last year who did karaoke, and they hated her. So literally, we could have done anything other than karaoke, and they would have been pleased with it.
So how long did you have to do?
Have to do? They wanted us to do sort of 20 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, 20, 10, you know, it's you
it's
know
how
I mean?
Quickly you say the words, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I mean, it was actually quite good. It's actually quite good, but yeah.
Oh, that sounds great. I did a rugby club recently.
Okay, is it sort of?
I did a rugby club for Can Comedy, and it was absolutely.
Oh.
It was great. Yeah, shout out to the Can guys.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. It was one of those gigs where. Even your B work is getting is getting a great response.
I mean, you shouldn't really have B material, should you? That's sort of saying, this is shit, but I'm still going to say it until I think of something which is better.
Without sounding arrogant, all my material is B material when I come out with a new bit.
Okay.
I constantly raise my own game.
So you're sort of aiming for, that's the benchmark.
Perfection, Josh.
Yeah, sort of consistent B work.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can sort of have, you know, like when you've just got an album, you know, like a music album.
Yeah.
And it's just all hits, you can have it on shuffle.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, this is good, I forgot about this one, this is good, I forgot about this. Yeah. With you, it's sort of, well, you wouldn't even download it, would you?
Well, the trouble
you
was
this, you wouldn't clog up your iPod with it, almost.
Well, I had all these B jokes, and then I had this one A joke.
Yeah.
And it just kind of shone a light on the rest of my material.
Yeah.
It exposed me for the fraud that
definitely.
I am. So I got rid of it. So now anything that's a little bit too good that I can't keep up with, I get rid of.
Yeah, definitely cut that.
Yeah.
Cut that, definitely.
So it's just nice B material.
Yeah,
all the way
that's
through.
It.
And people seem to lap it up, you know.
Yeah.
If you just tell them you've won a couple of awards, they'll think you're God's gift.
Yeah, well, no, well, we have, haven't we, Stu? We've
well,
won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've won three, haven't you?
Won three, 3-2. So.
But we're not counting.
We're not counting, but, you know, three... Three for me, two for you.
I, Josh, so we've got a show coming up, haven't we?
We have indeed.
It, and I don't want to go over all.
We've actually got two shows coming up, so you've booked in two shows.
Can I explain what I did there?
Yes, please do, because...
Yeah, it looks amateurish, doesn't it? You look in the brochure and there's us two right next to each other, two shows by us, and I'm a bit embarrassed. What happened was, I contacted... Helen from the
NCF.
NCF.
Yeah, lovely lady.
Asked if she had any spots. I believe that's what I was asking, thinking, you know, are there any 10 minutes I can jump on?
Yeah.
Obviously, there was a miscommunication, and she thought I meant a show.
Okay.
So that's how come we ended up with the second show.
So it's an hour. She's giving you an hour to...
Yes. Yeah. So
okay.
it is 10 minutes. It's just...
Yeah.
It's just six of them.
And... Listen. We want to keep it interactive, Stu, don't we? We want to keep this interactive. I've got another interactive idea as well at the moment.
Oh, okay.
But so, if listeners wanted to tweet us ideas, I mean, any idea, literally any idea for a show, we'll try and... We'll probably do it, won't we? I mean, literally anything.
At this point, I don't think we've got anything to lose, Josh.
Yeah, so if people wanted to tweet something in, I mean, it could be any sort of a concept show.
Yeah.
I mean, you had an idea, Stu, to actually... Sort of get a multi-gym on stage.
I still think that this has got legs.
So what is it?
We hire some gym equipment. I've got a mate, he can do us some stuff for cheap, and I'm sure we've got our own weights as well we can bring. And we do a workout, a normal workout, and then after we've done a superset, which some of the listeners hopefully will understand, we do a little bit of material. And while you're doing the material, the other person starts their
okay.
set, right? Obviously, if you're doing any compound exercises that require a spotter, then safety comes before comedy.
Absolutely.
And the audience will just have to wait. But I still think that there's mileage in that concept.
There could be. But like I say, any other ideas that people want to tweet
in? Absolutely anything. Just to sort of tell people how much we are welcoming to their ideas, can I run a couple past you that I've had just recently?
Yeah, of course.
So this one, it's a character thing, right? Both characters. You are playing Clairvoyant, and I am Dave Jarvu, right?
Okay.
You play two characters. You play yourself and Clairvoyant. And what happens is, right, you say, oh, I can feel it in my waters. Oh, there's going to be a joke in a minute. There's going to be a joke about, and then fill in the blanks, say sports cars. And then you disappear off as Clairvoyant, right? And you come back as Josh Pugh, and you tell a joke.
God's sake.
About sports cars, and then I go. Dave Jarvu goes. Did you just do that already? Like as a catchphrase, I'd do it in some silly voice. Did you just say that already? And then the audience would all laugh.
So this gym equipment. So you can definitely get hold of the gym equipment if we need to.
I had another idea. One other idea now. I'm not into sort of like crass, gimmicky type things. I think if you're going to do something, it's got to be meaningful.
Yeah.
And absolutely. What I thought was, right, we get there and we choose five of the major religions, right? And we get the audience to pick their favourite and we convert to that religion during the hour. And then at the end, we perform material based on our new religion.
Okay. Literally, as I say, at Comedy Roundabout, any ideas you want to send in, is absolutely fine. Can I just say,
I
want, you know, last week we did the Great British Pun Off, which I think I won that, didn't I? So I thought what would keep an interactive element to the show, Stu. And obviously, as you know, on TV at the moment, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah.
So we've been doing a bit of a Bush Tucker trial we've got lined up. So the viewers, the listeners have been voting online.
Right.
And I'm delighted to say, Stu, they've nominated you.
Okay.
To take part in the Bush Tucker trial. And so we've got what they usually eat, some animals or something, don't they? Or little insects. Mm. What we've done, I've got some dog biscuits in the cupboard. Okay. And so at the end of the show, when we do the sort of credits and stuff, you're actually going to eat. So you'll be on all fours. And you'll actually eat the dog biscuits. So
why is there a dog collar on that setting?
So that's what the listeners have wanted. So they voted for you. It was a landslide, actually. It's sort of 90% to 10%. So as we do the end credits at the end, you'll sort of be on. If you wanted to woof and growl, you could.
Jesus Christ.
So just thanks, everyone, for voting on that one.
It's what the listeners...
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's topical, isn't it? Sort of Bush Tucker.
Can you just show me the software?
Well, it's sort of not...
I'd just like... It'd be nice to see the... see, like, a graph or some kind of voting system.
Yeah, but it's sort of... everything's sort of online these days, isn't it? It's okay. You know, it's all. Okay. So that's how we'll close the show today. So you sort of want to ready yourself.
I guess I've only got one question.
Okay.
Are they gluten free?
They are gluten free, Stu.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
If it's what they voted for, Josh, I'll do it.
Absolutely. I was thinking this, Stu. You know, like vets. You know, because we all make mistakes at work, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, like when a dog goes for like early injections, like at 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Do you think they've ever mixed that up with the lethal injection that puts them down?
Because
I bet that's happened.
I'd be surprised if they keep them sort of in the same box, like, you know, your lethal injection in the same box as your 12-month one. But what do I know? I'm not a vet.
Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
And that's an awkward conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'd say, this is me personally.
Yeah.
I'm not a vet. I'd say they've had a bad reaction to the proper injections.
Yes.
And possibly turn it on them. So what have you been feeding this dog? Is this an insurance job?
You see, I think what you've done there is you've revealed a little bit about yourself there.
Okay.
Because I wasn't thinking like that at all. I just couldn't live with myself. I mean, the first thing I'd do is I'd go and get them another animal. Whatever animal I'd accidentally... euthanized.
Yeah,
I'd try and find a similar one
within the vets, or would you sort of go?
I'd try and get one that's really similar.
Yeah,
but also cheap. I wouldn't want to spend too much money.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah.
And then I'd just try and make out that nothing happened.
Right.
That's worse, actually, isn't it?
That's worse. That's worse. What would you have? You got a dog?
I just found something else about myself there.
Have you got a dog, Stu, or anything?
No,
I've
had dogs in the past.
Okay,
I sort of grew up with dogs, and we've got a cat at the
minute. Raised by dogs,
which I would happily have euthanized. Oh, that's awful.
Oh,
I wasn't raised by dogs. No, but I am sometimes accused of being barking mad.
Jesus Christ. Have you? So this is supposed to be a comedy podcast, and last week last month we gave a bit of a mention to somebody we liked, and we gave a mention to Ben Briggs, who was sort of really good, and I've not actually seen him since that, so that's really propelled his career. Have we got a future tip?
Well, it's funny that you bring that up.
Also, maybe you've found somebody online through LinkedIn or YouTube or something you wanted to, so the listeners can go and have a look at something, keep themselves entertained in the interim before our next podcast.
Well, I was just going to say, it's funny that you mentioned the Ben Briggs thing, because I did it again, Josh. I embarrassed myself in front of another comedian.
Oh, God.
I was overglowing in my praise, and I saw them become visibly uncomfortable.
Who was the person?
It was Tom Little. Have you ever seen him?
I haven't seen him, no. I've heard he's very good.
He was great. He was absolutely brilliant. I did a gig with him, and then a few weeks later, I did another gig. And I saw him, and I thought, well, I'm not going to go and chat with him because, you know, it's all just... I played it cool. And he came over to me. And then I'd watched his YouTube clip about four times, and I think by the time we started to converse, I knew some of his material better than him.
And he was sort of... And what did you say?
I think he was happy when the conversation finished.
And is he still going? Is he still doing gigs? Is he still gigging after that?
He is, although he has blocked me on Twitter and Facebook. I didn't even know you could block on Twitter.
No, I didn't, actually. That's good to know, actually, some of those. Mm. I mean, Pablo's in danger. If he keeps on, he could get blocked.
Yeah. It crosses a line after a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It really does. Stu, did you want to sort of ask for any donations? Because I've heard this. Some podcasts ask for donations, don't they?
Yeah, literally anything. If you could give us absolutely anything.
Yeah, I'm happy for people to donate content as well. Yeah, it's not got to be financial, has it? It can be sort of
ideas.
But not seriously, this is. I'm sorry if this is against podcasts or whatever. What's that money going on? So, because it's just we've got all the gear. I mean, this is expensive kit.
Yeah,
but this is
top of the
you've
range.
You've sort of took this from work, haven't you? So this is fine. But
borrowed.
So, but what could it go on?
The money that they would give us.
Yeah, and what? Well, you know, people donate to podcasts. I understand, like, if you're doing a live venue,
I know what you mean.
Or if you're getting quality guests on, which we...
Well, you say that, and instantly I thought how much better we'd look with a couple of Santa hats on. And that's money you could take
out of your
podcast fund.
That's absolutely true. So, yeah, we could probably set some up, really, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
On, some people, if you see me or Stu at a gig or in the street, if you wanted to come and give us... Well, if probably easy if they buy the Santa hats directly.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Because we're doing this Christmas podcast, if you want to give us some Santa hats for that.
Santa hats would be lovely.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Any kind of decorations, really. Our tree, we're getting a tree tomorrow, so we'll be looking for anything to go.
You know what I need to do? Some new towels.
Yeah.
Because you know how they sort of lose the fluff after a bit?
Yeah, yeah.
I could do a couple of... If people want to get me new towels...
My Links, I think it's My Africa, is just about on its arse. So
that's something else.
A can of that would be fantastic.
Yeah, guys. Definitely. You know what I'm really into as well? You know them, you like them toffee fees? The little toffee sweets?
Yeah.
I'd have a pack of them.
I tend to just eat Werther's Originals. So again, guys, if you've got Werther's, that'll be... they're just a lot easier on my gums.
Yeah, definitely. Do you ever do that thing at school, Steve? You know, where you put the 2 pence piece in a glass of Coke and then you come back and it's all rotten.
Is that true? Does that really... I've never tried it, but I have heard about it.
I don't know. We can get rid of that. I don't know what I'm saying there, Steve.
Okay, fair enough.
That's ridiculous. How long have we done, mate? We've done a decent amount of time.
We started at 8:30. We've done an hour. I think it's good to probably get another 10 in so we can do a bit of editing.
Yeah.
I reckon. Johnny?
Yeah. Have you got anything else to...
Yeah.
I've got a couple more bits.
Oh, go on, Steve.
Right, okay.
You're prepared today, mate.
No, just little bits, little notes
it's
and stuff like that.
It's not just like half an idea and then just talk, is it? You can get
I actually, I've actually got, from the last time we did that, from the last one, I've actually got some material that I do on stage now.
Really?
And it works,
It's great. What's
it for? Basically, I do this thing where I go, right, ladies and gentlemen, I've got... It's based on that Twitter thing we did.
Okay.
So I say, right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just... Based on your response, this app will give me a mark out of 10. Give me 2 claps and do 2... They actually do 2 claps.
Yeah.
Give me 1 clap, give me a clap, and then give me 3 claps. Then after the end of 3, I go, we're calibrated. And it gets quite a good...
Yeah.
And that was from the podcast.
Oh, that's good.
Did you go to school with anybody with a one of those sort of humorous names?
I did, Stu.
Did you?
Yeah.
Who was it?
It's a guy called, and get ready for this.
Yeah.
David Stephen Phelan Whelan.
No way.
Yeah, so his name was David Whelan. His mother remarried. He kept his original name, so it was David Phelan Whelan. Turns out his middle name's Stephen. David Stephen Phelan Whelan.
Oh my God. That's
great,
isn't
it?
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
I went to school with an Anna Graham.
Okay.
Anna Graham. And when I thought about that, it made me wonder if I could think of an anagram for either of our names. And I've got an anagram of your name.
Oh, okay.
Posh Jew.
Yeah. Well, that's like a...
Is that an anagram?
Oh, it's no, because there's no W in Josh Pugh, is there?
Basically, I've taken the first letter... Your first and second name and swap them round.
That's called a spoonerism, still, I believe.
Is it?
I believe so, yeah. So you are Woo Suddings. Woo Suddings.
But I'll be honest, she was a bitch, Anna Graham. She was, not nice.
She not?
Another thing I was thinking, next week, Josh.
Yeah.
And I'll eat the dog biscuits, that's fine.
Yeah, of course, yeah. That's the viewers, so listeners.
It's the gluten-free. I've not actually eaten dinner, so nowadays dog food's that good anyway, isn't it? It's probably better than McGinty's. Gonna have. But I was just gonna say, I think we need something to get the viewers involved, and I think I suggested last week that you propose live on air, and it was cheap of me to do that, Josh, and I'm sorry to put you in that kind of uncomfortable position. So I was trying to think of an alternative. So what I was thinking was, next week I'm going to give listeners the chance to name my next child.
Okay.
So what we'll do is we'll get them to just put in names,
yeah,
and then whichever name wins at the end of the show, I will legitimately, if I ever have another kid, I'll call it that.
Okay.
I think that means a lot. That's
definitely.
Do you know what I mean? If it gets us a few more Twitter followers,
it's worth it, isn't it?
It's got to be.
Yeah, definitely. So we're asking quite a lot of this. We want show ideas.
Yeah.
We want baby names. It's a lot of responsibility for the people. I think people just want to listen casually still. I don't think they want this level of responsibility.
I don't want to stress them out.
No. So
if anything, I want to de-stress them.
Yeah, so one or the other, so it's up to you. So what's more important to you? Is it the show? Do you want to do a good show, or do you want another kid, or do you want to sort of do a good show at Leicester?
The only thing is, if it's girl names, we're not into any of these Celtic girl names with these funny little accents over things. So,
okay. So just, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, so yeah, they can tweet in.
Got any, anything else you want to
I think that might be it, mate.
Okay, mate.
I think we've got some good bits out.
No, that was good.
We go into like a bit of a thing, don't we?
It goes.
We're a bit like characters.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily.
No.
But we are like little character, like more of a character thing, isn't it, than a
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Like
it's
the not conversation's like a different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
It starts off sort of
like I generally don't know when you've been.
No, I don't.
When you've been serious and when
I'm. I don't know when I don't know when I'm supposed to be responding as well. Sometimes I'm like.
Yeah.
But it's weird when we did last week's. I remember thinking, is there anything?